This is episode 220 of the Kaiju Popcast. Welcome, everybody, and how are you guys doing? I am great. My name is Chad O'Brien, and today I am joined by the one, the only, Jason Gibson.
Are you sure there's only one of me?
Well, I'm pretty sure there's lots of Jason Gibson, but there's only one of you. You're a unique, special star. And I'm not gonna, let's not say snowflake. Okay. I'm tired of that word. so tired of that word.
We did have a little snow this week.
Yeah, we did. I was working in the mountains and we got quite a bit of it. And I'm sure it will be there next week because it never melts in the mountains. Makes it hard for me to walk. But anyway, like I said, 220. Welcome, people. You might have noticed that I only mentioned one name because Chris Charlton is not with us today. He's off pretending that he's doing something else when I'm sure he's actually just sleeping. Probably just sleeping.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
Snoring, catching up on some Z's, and I don't know. I would like to go to sleep for the next 4 years. I don't know about you.
Yeah. A one-year-old will do that to you.
There you go. A one-year-old or a 70-year-old who acts like a one-year-old.
Did you adopt a 70-year-old, Chad?
I don't actually know how old President Trump is. I certainly didn't adopt him. I did not vote for him, but he is the president now. All I can say is good luck to him.
Yeah, I don't think there is a palm big enough for my face.
Right.
Right now.
Yep. But at this point, he is the president. So his successes are America's successes, and of course I would never wish his presidency to go down in flames because, that would mean the country does the exact same.
I don't know, but I kind of feel like maybe you would wish that secretly. Maybe.
Perhaps a little bit, I mean... That was some speech the guy made. That guy is all about peace, isn't he?
Yeah, I was reading an article and I think like he said the words the words that are mentioned most often in like inaugural speeches are like freedom and law and justice and those sorts of words. Mm-hmm. Like he said like one. Like, throughout the whole speech, he said, like, freedom, justice, law, equality, all those kinds of words. He said, like, one of them. Once.
He certainly said people a lot.
Yeah.
Quite a lot. Yeah. Yeah. Let's just hope that, all people are under his umbrella. Because he seems to, what's that old phrase? Something about you offer something nice in one hand, but you have like a weapon in the other or something. He seems to say like, hey, let's unify this country. And then turns around and says, hey, these people are shitbags. This is a podcast about politics, right?
Yeah, of course. That's what we always talk about.
I've been slaying demons in feudal Japan as a blonde samurai.
Okay. How's that going for you?
That is going quite well for me. We'll talk about that in a bit. That is Neo's last chance trial, but we'll talk about that in a bit. Let's go on to news, because as long as we're talking about feudal era Japan, we might as well talk about some other ancient practices, like what Nintendo's doing with its online service. I guess I wouldn't really call this ancient. It's unprecedented. It's just strange what they're doing. It really is strange.
I mean, so, when has Nintendo ever made a logical step regarding online services? I mean, really?
Good question. But let's go into the heart of this. So last week we talked at length about the Switch reveal, and a lot of that conversation mostly dealt with the hardware as well as the software coming out for it, or not coming out for it,
as the case may be.
Right, depending on, you know, what your expectations were. But we have here, like, a lot of new data about the kind of things that are going to be offered with the Switch. And one of them is the online service. First off, this is going to be a paid service. There have been a lot of complaints about that, but at the same time, like, that's just the reality of things.
That's just par for the course at this point. I mean,
bandwidth costs money, people. And sure, Steam still gets by without doing it, but,
they sell their games.
Right. Yeah. So. Nintendo is going to start a paid online service. It will be free once the unit is launched, but, coming fall, it will, become a paid service. And that's likely to give them time to build up that infrastructure. Now, the problem is, as you said, like, Nintendo's online track record is not the best. And this is
putting it mildly.
Right. But this is something everybody knows. But the problem becomes, like, it's a chicken and the egg kind of thing. Like, are they building new infrastructure now? Well, of course they are. They'd better be. But will they have the infrastructure that's worth the money, or are they waiting for the pay to come in to make the infrastructure worth that? I'm not exactly sure what's going to happen. Of course, we're going to have to wait until March. Well, even longer than that to get a real online multiplayer game whenever Splatoon is coming out, or Mario Kart is coming out in April, I believe.
Yeah.
So there is that. Now, me personally, I don't really care about online for Nintendo, at least. I do subscribe to PlayStation Plus, but that's because I actually do play online games, mostly Overwatch. But I do a few more things. And it's also because PlayStation Plus offers some extra value in the way of the six games. I don't really use my PS3 anymore, so more like four games that we get every month. But Nintendo has decided to jump into this ring as well by offering their own selection. Wait, I'm sorry. I said selection. I meant one free game. That's right. One free game per month. If you're looking for the latest Switch game, those don't exist yet. So, Wii U? No. No. We're going back a little bit further. GameCube? I know you're thinking that because they announced that the GameCube Virtual Console would be available on Switch. But no, we're going further back. NES and SNES. You will get one free NES or SNES game, not and, or SNES game per month. Now, these will include brand new multiplayer capability over the internet. Because, you know,
I always wanted to play
Joust with someone in Israel or America or Brazil.
Because, you know, I really want to go back and play original Mario Kart, with eight other people when I could just play now Mario Kart.
Yep. Or Ice Climbers or Balloon Fight.
Two-player Mega Man.
There you go. Yep. So, if that wasn't enough of a kick in the noids, then the so fact... I'm sorry?
The noid.
Right, avoid the noid. He steals pizzas. Yes. If that wasn't enough of a bad situation, then let me throw a little extra salt in that wound by saying that Nintendo has also said, I don't think they've said it, but they've confirmed people who have asked them, that you will only get that game for the month. It doesn't matter if you're still subscribed after the month has finished. They will take it back and put it behind the paywall. So get in your balloon fights now.
God. And knowing the way that Nintendo handles their online stuff, what's going to happen is you're going to own the game, mm-hmm. and then it's going to come on free. And then when it goes off free, they're going to take away the game that you already owned, even before they gave it to you for free.
Yeah, something like that. Honestly, I think they're trying to work some synergy into this decision, because they're adding this multiplayer capability to the SNES games. I'm not sure if it's for the NES games as well, but definitely SNES games. Anyway, they add in this new capability, but really, who's gonna play multiplayer, or internet multiplayer games, like those?
Street Fighter, maybe, I guess.
But, I mean, they're even releasing, for the Switch, there's a new Street Fighter game coming out. Ultra Street Fighter 2 to the Max Alpha 3X4
Suplex. Radical Turbo Extreme?
Something like that. Anyway.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a new Street Fighter 2, although it does cost $40, so you might want to take the pass on that. $40 for a new version of Street Fighter 2.
Yeah,
but you do get the option to switch between like new kind of sprites or the original sprites.
Oh my god!
Yep. Anyway, so back to what I was talking about. Like, they've added this this SNES capability, or multiplayer capability. But the problem is, like, yeah, nobody's gonna play that. So that's what I think. That's why they're putting in like this month term for it, because if it's all you get for the month, I will play this game, I guess. And then sure enough, like, it's gone at the end of the month and you're like, well, I'm not playing that game anymore, obviously.
But like, what's the goal with this though?
I'm not speculating on a goal. I'm just trying to come up with some
put a little rhyme connection. To the reason. I get that, but like, I'm just trying to figure out, like, why
Nintendo that why Nintendo?
Is your goal to make people play games they don't enjoy and then you get nothing out of it because after a month nobody's ever going to play that again?
That's right. Now let's move on to another why Nintendo. So how often have you been playing a game on, well, you play on your PC, I play on my PS4, and you're playing your games, and suddenly you decide you want to talk to your friend who is also playing video games. So what do? Of course, you pull out your cell phone, and you dial them up, and you hold that cell phone to your ear, and you're like, hey, let's talk, while you're controlling the game with your other hand. Is that about right? Is that what you do?
That perfectly describes. Fuck no. No. No.
That's what Nintendo wants you to do. So they have announced that part of this online service is a smartphone app, that's apparently going to be released in summer. Strangely enough, it says it's going to be a free limited app in the summer, which kind of indicates that they're going to charge you for the app at some point, which is shady at best, considering you're already paying for the service. Anyway, so you get this, and that allows you to get voice functionality, so you can talk with your friends over the smartphone app.
Wait, so why don't you just get Line or Skype?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Obviously, I haven't seen the app. It's not out yet. They haven't even released like UI for it or anything. So, we have no idea what, if any, kind of extra functionality they're going to put in with that voice chat, if anything. Because, yeah, like you say, why not just use Line? But my big issue is, like, just, well, I mean, besides the obvious convenience issue, like, no, first off, you now have to have an extra device that is also going to, you know, need battery charging. And that will obviously use the internet as well, because, you know, voice chat ain't easy. It's gonna do all this, and then, like, you're playing a game at the same time. Where does the game audio go?
True.
Because, as someone who has played with people who keep their TVs on while you're in a party chat, that gets annoying. That's why I like PS4's, you know, party chat, because the game audio and the chat audio comes right to your headphones, so there's no echoing effects whatsoever. But if you're gonna have your game audio on the Switch and your chat audio on your smartphone, how does that work?
I don't know. It's like Nintendo just doesn't understand how software is supposed to function days, you know?
No, they don't. No. Yeah. That basically does it for the online service. Is it dead on arrival?
At this point, I'd have to assume yes, but yeah. I mean, like, it's still a couple months away, so who knows?
Yeah. We have had a couple of other things, that have come to light over the few days after that initial presentation, and I do want to bring these up as well. These are more Why Nintendo moments, but none are as crazy as those online service decisions. Number one is they are completely abandoning Street Pass and the Miiverse. Apparently, Nintendo Switch will still allow Miis. There have been, like, UI confirmations that you can still create Miis, but and that's fine. But I never used Miiverse, but I know people who found it a lot of fun just to be able to go, like, okay, just pop into the Miiverse, talk about a game, or share, you know, just, I like this game. It's kind of like Reddit, but without all the, you know, the toxicity.
and without all that bothering content, you know?
Yeah. It's a super echo chamber, but still. The Street Pass, I actually like Street Pass. So, whenever I would go to a theme park or a convention or something like that, I like seeing who else is there. I liked getting visits from people who were around the world. Even if I never saw them, it was just a nice little thing. And they're getting rid of that. Presumably to help prolong the battery life, because that's already, like, razor thin acceptability limits.
There's
that. Just one more thing, and this is going to be a your mileage may vary kind of situation, but there is no pack-in game whatsoever, no downloadable game, no physical game. There's nothing on your Switch when you get it. Reggie has said that this is basically a decision they made specifically to keep the price point at $300. Which, you know, makes sense, but at the same time, they also revealed that games like 1-2 Switch are going to be $50. And 1-2 Switch is absolutely nothing but a series of tech demos.
It seems like they could have, like, at least included, like, some sort of lame version of, like, Wii Sports or something.
Sure.
Just something. Like a table tennis game.
Or just a Wii U port or something, yeah. But I don't know. I pre-ordered my Switch today because in Japan, they just opened the pre-orders today on the 21st as we're recording this. Whereas in the rest of the world, they were open the day of that presentation. But, so, like I said, there's no pack-in at the moment, but who knows? There may be a lot of backlash from this decision, and maybe Nintendo will just want to get copies of 1-2 Switch out there or something, so maybe they'll offer some kind of ambassador program for
Could
the early
be.
Adopters.
You might find, like, later on, if assuming that they don't have the pre-orders that they want, that maybe some stores will start trying to, like, bundle games with it if you pre-ordered or something. Possibility.
Well, sure, but I could be wrong, but I think bundles do require Nintendo's approval. Yeah, so those are our why Nintendo moments. Yeah. No pack-in, smartphone dependence. Yeah, there's a lot of weird stuff coming out of Nintendo right now. I'm still looking forward to the hardware. I like what I see, and I'm going to get Zelda. I'm going to enjoy that. I'm going to see really how much that battery life is, because I have a feeling that 3 hours, they say 3 hours for Breath of the Wild. I think that's soft. 3 hours. It's probably going to be 2.5.
3 hours of standing around and not moving, maybe.
Maybe. Anyway, on to some better news out of Nintendo. This week they also had the Fire Emblem Direct. And I really like when they do directs that are specifically for certain games. Like, they had that Pikmin Direct a while ago. Fire Emblem is obviously a game that I really like. I'll admit, like, I was never a fan before Awakening, and some interesting news I was reading this week is that apparently before Awakening was basically, their last gasp. Nintendo said something along the lines of, if Awakening doesn't sell 250,000 units, apparently previous games weren't making that cut, but if it doesn't sell 250,000 units, they were gonna axe the series completely. And apparently Awakening sold 450,000 units in Japan alone, so they were quite pleased with that. And that led to, Fates, which was a real surprise because Fates had three different versions of the title, two physical and one download only. And now we've got a Fire Emblem Direct. This week we had a few announcements. So, first one is that apparently Fire Emblem Echoes, Shadows of Valentia, is coming to the 3DS, not the Switch, but the 3DS. Now, Fire Emblem Echoes is apparently it's a Gaiden, Fire Emblem Gaiden. It was the second game released for the series, and it kind of departed from the series in that instead of a strategic overmap, you have kind of more freedom to move around. I'm kind of interested to see how that plays out. And that'll be out in May. But coming sooner than that is the mobile game. Perhaps the first mobile game I've ever truly been excited for. And that is Fire Emblem Heroes. Not to be confused with Fire Emblem Warriors, which is the Team Ninja,
the Musou game.
Right, the Musou game. And that's coming out. That's coming out sometime in fall. Fire Emblem Heroes is, coming out February 2nd for Android. I'm not sure about iOS. I heard some iffy reports about Android coming first and then coming out simultaneously. Anyway, for Android, at least, it's coming out February 2nd. Fire Emblem Heroes is basically mobile Fire Emblem. It's exactly what you would expect, kind of smaller maps. I forget the exact grid count.
I think it said 8x6, I think it said, right?
Was it really? Okay.
Yeah, it's real small.
Okay. I would think it's a little bigger than that. Not much bigger, but yeah. 8x6. Could be right. You can only choose four players or four team members per map, and you go around, and they have movement, and they have terrain, and all these different things you have to consider, along with the weapon triangle. So red beats green, green beats blue, blue beats red, and so on. Now, characters, obviously, those were going to be the monetized portion of this, if they were going to monetize at all, and I think we all saw that coming. So they might have even announced it at some point that these were going to be monetized. Anyway, characters can be summoned by collecting 5 orbs, and you get orbs through doing various in-game tasks. It doesn't seem very difficult. It's like if you clear a map, you get an orb. I don't know if there's a limit per day or something, but if you get 5 orbs, you can summon a character. It's that easy. And if you summon more than one at a time, it gets cheaper. So the first character will be 5 orbs, then 4. I think it's 4 for like the next 3 characters. So it's like 5, 4, 4, 4, and then 3. Something like that. Anyway, so if you stockpile your orbs, save them up, and then get a bunch of characters at once, that seems kind of the way to go.
Now, and it also said, like, the type of orb you use, like, affects the kind of character you summon.
Right. Yeah, there are, how many were there? Like, 4 or 5 different colors. I think it's the color of, like, the Fire Emblem orb, so that would be 5. And, yeah, you can summon, you want to summon a red character, like Longku or someone like that. So, you can do that. And if you decide to supplement your orbs, those are, in-game purchases. And the prices are pretty standard. So, again, it costs 5 orbs to summon a character. You can't buy 5 orbs, just straight away. You can buy 3 for a buck. Or 10 for $3. I've heard some people complaining about that. It's something, there's some kind of like phenomenon where, you can't buy a character like right away. So it's some kind of like weird mental fallacy you start getting into. But, I don't know. I think it's fine. Because like I said earlier, if you clear a map, you get an orb.
It's like Hearthstone that I play. You can get cards without paying money, but if you want to get lots of cards now, pay some money.
Yeah.
Same thing.
And you can only bring 4 characters into battle, so like what's the point of getting 60 characters anyway?
Right? Yeah, I mean, unless you're one of those, you're just looking for your favorite, character from one specific game.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't really see a need to have like 60 people on your roster.
Now I do hope it does things like no duplicates and things like that. I really hope so. I hope it's not like a blind box kind of situation.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, so there's that.
I didn't see anything about it, but is this going to be multiplayer? I couldn't find anything about that.
I would doubt it, honestly. Mm. But yeah, there's training maps, there's missions, there's special like event quests against super famous characters from the past, all this sort of stuff, and like all the voices have been redone, some of the character artwork has been redone, the animations look amazing, the whole app just looks super crisp and sharp. And of course, that's just on their presentation. It might look different when the actual product comes out, but we'll know in like 2 weeks. So there you go. Like I said, that's probably the first one I'm gonna get. I'm excited for it. The first mobile game I'm really excited for. Is what I meant to say?
Yeah. It's definitely the first one that I put into the Play Store to notify me when it got released. Never done that before.
Yep. So that was announced. We also talked about, or the Direct also talked about Fire Emblem Warriors coming out in fall. And they said there will be an actual new Fire Emblem game coming in 2018 for the Switch, but there was nothing really revealed, no title or anything like that. So, look forward to that. Yeah. And that is that. Fire Emblem. Direct. Direct to you.
Direct.
Yes. Yep. So, yeah, it's nice to see projects coming together. And Nintendo has talked about their mobile strategy for a while. Super Mario Run seems to be doing all right. Not great, but, I think they'll see more profit with Fire Emblem, considering, you know, you can dump in lots of money. It's not a one-time purchase.
Yeah. And I feel like that kind of game just lends itself better to the platform.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. But of course the one that's really, really going to kill the market is Animal Crossing when they bring that out.
Oh my God. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. New couches, new pictures for your house, new houses themselves, new roofs. Yeah. So Nintendo's projects are really seem to be coming together on that front. It's not all good news for first party studios. Where Nintendo seems to be on the ball, at least in terms of software, not online stuff for that Switch. Ooh. Get on that, Nintendo. Fix that. Anyway, their software seems to be coming out well, but, poor Microsoft, or should I say poor Platinum Games. We have news. We didn't really touch on it last week, but this is about a week old. Apparently, Scalebound has been canceled, officially canned. This isn't too surprising because we haven't heard much about it in like the past year or so, I'd say.
Yeah.
There was a pretty terrible demo at an E3 or something like that. But, yeah, so that's gone. Goodbye, Scalebound. And
we hardly knew ye.
Right. This is big news because, we don't know how close it was to being finished, but it was in development for a long, long time.
Oh, it was at least in alpha build. Yeah. I would assume.
Yeah. I believe there were some figures going around where it was like 80% complete. And that probably means like they had all the code and assets and like all they had to do was like figure out a way to put it. Right. They had to figure out how to put it together. And that's where it probably like bungled up and they couldn't do it. But this was also a Hideki Kamiya game. So like the alpha team over at Platinum Games was on this and didn't come together quite so well. I'm not sure who has the assets. But the Platinum team hasn't mentioned anything about trying to find a new publisher for the game. So if they own the property, they're not doing anything with it for the moment anyway.
Mm.
Platinum has had some pretty big whiffs lately. A lot of their licensed stuff, obviously, Korra, Transformers and TMNT kind of, there are fans of them. I thought Transformers was okay, but, they certainly didn't, you know, skyrocket. They do have Nier Automata coming up, and that looks fantastic. So, we can hope that they do well. Another studio in some kind of trouble, another PL studio, and that is Playdead. Mm. Playdead. So makers of Limbo and Inside, some interesting news came to light. Apparently, a Dutch article that was translated over on NeoGAF. Playdead is a Dutch company. Apparently, the two founders, Dino Patty and, I had his name. Something Jensen. Arndt Jensen. There you go. Dino Patty and Arndt Jensen. Apparently they had a falling out, over who owns the games that they made. And
Oh, see, I heard it was something about like when they want to release them.
Oh, okay. That's not what I've got on my NeoGAF thing here.
Well, it's just something I read somewhere. I don't have any source for that. It's just something I remember reading.
Yeah. Well, I'm not entirely sure myself because I didn't read the original Dutch article. So, I don't know. But there was some kind of falling out between the two, and irreconcilable differences led to them, eventually kind of taking legal action against each other. It got so bad that they weren't even talking, except through their legal representatives. So that kind of hit ahead, and Dino Patty was basically kind of forced to sell his shares, or like 49% of the company. And he made a hefty profit. He made 50 million Danish krones, which comes out to about $7.2 million, which, you know, most indie developers would just jump at. Apparently he has also later come out and said he would reverse the decision if he could. He wants those shares back. But it's a bit strange because this news came out the same week that some new concept art for Playdead's next game was released. It's just a quick image of like a black figure looking at a crashed spaceship or something in the background. But at the same time, it's like who made this game? Did they work together on it? Was this a Patty and Jensen game?
Yeah. I mean, like, how long have they been on the outs?
Yeah. Apparently this all started around the time that Inside was originally released. So,
a while.
Yeah, a while. I only just played Inside, this month. So it feels kind of weird for me because it's fresh in my head. So it kind of feels like, you know, it just started a month ago or something. But, I believe Inside was released at the end of 2015. I could be wrong.
Yeah, I played it right about release, and that sounds about right. About a year ago.
Yep. You know, developers have scuffles sometimes, and these things happen. They usually aren't quite so
public.
I mean, it
wasn't even really that public, I guess.
Right.
Oh,
they get public, but they don't get to the point where, you know, there's all this legal stuff going on. The only other one I can think of even going on right now is all the stuff with I'm terrible with names. The GTA guys,
Rockstar.
Well, I mean Rockstar, but the brothers in charge.
Oh, the actual names of the people. Yeah, you got me there. Yeah. I can't help you with that one.
Yeah, they apparently got into some kind of legal tiff with somebody who left the company on a sabbatical, and then it turned out like it wasn't a sabbatical. It was like a forced resignation. He wants money and yep. The world of gaming is full of political intrigue.
It's cutthroat.
Yeah, we need George R. R. Martin on this stat.
And so he can cut some throats.
That's right. Yeah. Well, cutting throats in video games is nothing new. just ask Nathan Drake. But, that is that. Now, unless there's any other news from Mr. Gibson.
Nope. I got a new car.
Oh, well. There you go. What kind of car did you get?
It's an Infiniti.
Infiniti.
It's an Infiniti.
An Infiniti. Yes. That implies there are multiple Infinities.
Well, considering Infiniti is a brand of car, there are.
I see. So we are not talking about the concept of Infiniti then.
Yes, I'm driving the concept of endlessness.
Why not? You know, Star Trek did it with Warp 10, infinite velocity. You're in every place in space at once.
Yeah, until they didn't, and then they have like Warp 13.
Yeah. retcons are the wave of the future, right? So, I guess your neighbor is going to buy an Infinity Plus One next.
Yeah, and then the next neighbor will buy Plus Two.
That's right, yep.
Yeah.
Until it all culminates in somebody buying the Infinity Infinities. childhood arguments brought back to life. Anyway, that is all the news, and Jason has played literally zero games this week, so I am going to be holding up the brunt of it. I've played three games. One of them, well, two of them super old. Well, not super old, just 2 years old, but that's kind of super old in gaming terms, right?
Anything that I've played?
I don't know. Have you ever played Silvio?
No.
No? Okay. Have you ever played Stella Glow?
No.
All right, then. No games you have played. And okay. I know you haven't played Neo, because that's for PS4.
So, yeah.
I don't know if it's coming out for PC.
I doubt it.
Anyway, I'll talk about the games real quick. So Stella Glow is, like I said, 2015 game. This is for the 3DS. It was made by Image Epoch, which has... I just have to go on this tangent real quick, because Image Epoch is a bankrupt company. It's gone now. But it had one of the weirdest news stories last year, because... they went bankrupt, and they were several million yen in debt, and apparently the CEO just disappeared. There was like a full nationwide manhunt for him. I mean, you know, trying to find him, not hunt him down, but anyway.
Right.
They never did. He is gone. He's still gone somewhere. And a lot of people speculated that it was because of the debt that he could never, ever pay back. So, anyway, Image Epoch, yeah. They made the Luminous Arc series, and Seventh Dragon.
Okay.
Yeah. So the Stella Glow is... It's a very weird strategy game, like a tactics game. So it's kind of filling my Fire Emblem, you know, itch right now. And, it starts out, I mean, you know, this game is in 2015, so spoiler alert, I guess, but, it starts out in, you know, very rustic, like, farmland, you know, boy fighting wolves in the forest. I'm like, okay, all right, yeah, we've seen this 100 times. And, then there's something about a witch singing magical spells that turn your town into crystal, and then suddenly this psychedelic color scheme pops up, and a whole new, like, anime intro trailer starts playing, and it says, you have to tune the witch's heart, and you end up in this weird, funky world that looks, like, all glitched out and things, I was... I did not know what to say. I still don't know what to say. It was really crazy. It's on a tactical level, it's a really good game. You know, you have your dudes, you can put them into, wherever you want to place them. You want your guard up front, for example, and you want your mages in back, and every mission comes with, like, little side tasks, like draw first blood, or make sure no one dies in your party, things like that. There's no permadeath, so if somebody dies, they're just out for that mission. It's an interesting little game, and it comes with a lot of fun voice acting. I don't know how the English voice acting is, but the Japanese is pretty good. But, so there's that. Second game I played was, as I mentioned before, Silvio. Now, Silvio, I had actually heard of this game because, excuse me, I'd heard of Silvio because I am a big fan of horror and especially not shooty horror, so psychological horror. And this is a game that kind of touches on that. It's steeped in like a unique mechanic where you are a spiritual audio recorder.
Okay.
So, you actually walk around with like this reel-to-reel tape machine.
Okay.
Because those are the most portable things ever, right? And you have a mic, and you go around and, you have to find like audio samples, and there's all kinds of different ones. So, sometimes you'll come across an area and you'll see like white sparkles around you, and, you hold your mic out and you'll hear like a word, like errand or mistake, something like that. And when you hear the word, like that's instantly put in your, Whispers notebook.
Okay.
But, kind of the more interesting mechanic comes, from different parts. So, there are also these, black spirits, that look just awful. I should probably say this. This game, it was made in 2015, but it looks like PS2 era stuff. It is not a very pretty game. The black spirits are just like floating balls of black smoke. And to be fair, this game is not supposed to be jump scaring you or anything like that. So, right. You get a lot of warning that this black smoke is about to touch you. And if it touches you, you have to start the stage kind of over again. Everything you've done is still done, but, you still have to start back at the starting point. So you just have to go back to where you were. Anyway, so black smoke comes at you. You have to attack it with a potato gun.
What? Like, yeah, okay.
A potato cannon. So you find a potato cannon and you can load it with potatoes or nails.
Okay.
Yeah. Potatoes, you launch at things you need to knock over or move around or something like that. Like, you see a tire on a big platform and you need to knock it down. But, the black smoke you can only attack with nails. So you have to like keep both loaded. You'll see at the bottom of the screen, it's like, oh, you've got a potato, 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 nail, nail, potato, or something like that.
Huh.
It's weird. So, you shoot the spirit with a nail, and it explodes into like this very like sonic disturbance, and you have to hold out your microphone and listen to just these ghastly wails and weird, you know, otherworldly sounds coming through. And then the fun kind of starts. Well, the fun part is like you take the recording and you go to your reel to reel. And, you have six ways you can play it. So you can play it normally. You can play it backwards. You can play it forward slow, or forwards fast, you know, fast forward. Or you can do the opposite in reverse. You can go back fast, back slow. Yeah. Six ways you can do it. And what you're supposed to do is listen for clues. These black spirits are more like what is affecting the main, force, the main ghost that's in the area. And so you have to find out, like, what kind of touched that person's life or something like that. When you hear those words, they're automatically inscribed in your book, and then like a waypoint marker appears, when you put the recorder away, so you can just go and pick up the item that's mentioned. Now, the problem I have with it is, like, I don't know how they could possibly fix it, but you're supposed to be like listening for these words and going like, oh, that sounds like this and something that, you know, like you're supposed to be investigating.
Right.
But really, all you had to do is just flip through the recording in the 6 different speeds and go like, okay, the words are added automatically to your list. So half the time I don't even understand the word or understand the phrase they're saying, but it's still added to the notebook. So I'm like, okay, all right. Now I see what they said. And then even after that, like some of the things you can pick up, like don't become like you can't pick them up until you find the clue that's relevant.
Even if you know you should pick it up.
Right. So I was trying to fix a car, and I went into this room, and I found a spark plug on the desk. I was like, oh, very obvious. I need to pick up the spark plug and bring it to the car. But nope, I had to find the Black Spirit, shoot it with a nail, get its audio recording, and listen until it said spark. And then, oh, okay. And then suddenly the spark plug became something I could pick up. I'm like, oh,
because until that point, you had no idea that spark plugs were used to fix cars.
No idea. That's right. I will say, like, the atmosphere they're going for kind of works out. And the music is amazing. I love the music. The music creeps me out more than half the game. But one other big problem is the voice acting. So it's a very soft-spoken character. I believe she's Swedish. I could be wrong. Very soft-spoken. But the problem is, like, she has, like, no emotion. So I'm walking through, like, this little park area, and I somehow, like, fall through a window, into this room, and like, you look up, and basically you're trapped in this underground room, and she says, oh, I guess I'm not going out that way. I'm like, really? What? Like, shouldn't you be a little bit more worried that you're trapped in this underground bunker?
Well, I mean, she shoots black spirits with nails, yeah, and then kills them.
Yeah.
She's obviously a badass.
Right. Atmosphere wise, it's a pretty nice game, but like mechanically, oh, like there are some serious issues going on. Not to mention the fact that like movement controls were also really, I had so many situations where like I would hang up on a ledge, and there are some like actual platforming sessions as well. And so that got super annoying. Anyway, that is Silvio. So if you like atmosphere, go for it. But if you like gameplay, avoid. So the last one is I'm just going to touch briefly on this because there's not much new to say. Nioh has released the Last Chance Trial. So I've talked about both of the alpha and the beta test for Nioh on the podcast before, so you can, you know, go to kaijubob.com and search for Nioh, N-I-O-H, and you'll come up with those. So this is, like I said, Last Chance Trial. It's basically the final demo. They did add a few things, like you can restock from your inventory, at the shrines now, where it used to go into like a storehouse that you could only access by quitting the mission, which was terrible. Mm. And they've also added the Kusarigama weapon. So for those who might not know, if you've ever seen an anime where some dude is sporting a chain weapon with a kind of hook on one end and a weighted ball on the other, that is a Kusarigama. So that, if you've ever wanted to try that, then there you go. This is like the first game I can think of that has Kusarigamas as a weapon. Nioh's great. Still plays great. Still looks great. Still sounds great. Basically go listen to those other podcasts and, enjoy.
Yeah, I'll be sure to play that when it comes out on PC.
PC, that's right.
Which is never.
Yeah, yeah. Or you could just get a PS4.
Could do. Probably won't.
It costs the same as the Switch. $300. Anyway, that is going to mostly do it for our show, because we have talked about, or I have talked about, all the games I played this week.
Yeah.
Chris played some games, but he's not here. So, yeah. He has no say whatsoever. I'm in full control.
Yeah, screw that guy.
So I'm going to use this control to talk about what's coming out next week. I know, you weren't expecting this session, right? But anyway, we've got it. What's coming out next week? We've got Kingdom Hearts HD 2.8 Final Chapter Prologue.
Yeah. Wow, that's a mouthful.
Yes, yes it is. And guess what? It's a Kingdom Hearts game. I'm not sure if that was clear. Yeah. It's like a pack of Dream Drop Distance, Kingdom Hearts 0.2 Birth by Sleep, and something else called like Back Cover, I believe. Yeah, Back Cover. Kingdom Hearts Cross Back Cover. Anyway, there's that. Then we've got the Western releases of Tales of Berseria and Yakuza 0. Along with the worldwide release of Resident Evil 7 Biohazard. So if you've got your PSVR units, prepare to shit your pants.
Wait, so in Japan, is this called Biohazard Resident Evil?
Yes, it is. Well, it's called Biohazard 7 Resident Evil.
Yes. Nice.
Well, and then in the West, yeah, we've talked about this before. Yeah, Resident Evil 7 Biohazard. So it's all come full circle. So, yep, there's that. On the 25th, we have Memoranda for the PC. 26th, we have The Wardrobe for PC, along with Twin Star Exorcist for Vita. We also have Arcade Archives Neo Geo World Heroes for PS4. These are pretty much all going to be PS4, but I'll say them anyway. Earthlock, okay. Festival of Magic, PS4. Enigmatis, The Ghosts of Maple Creek, for PS4. Firefighter 2017, The Simulation. Which seems to be made by the same guys who do Farming Sim and stuff like that.
Okay.
So we also have Hunter's Legacy, which is hilarious because the I'm looking at the art for this and it says Universe of Something Hunter's Legacy. Universe of Something Hunter's Legacy.
Okay.
There you go. Yeah. There's Lethal League, Moto Racer 4, Pineview Drive, Subterrain, and the PS4 release of The Turing Test.
It's a good game.
Yes, so I hear. And that is going to do it. That's everything that comes out next week. So, hot take is going to be Resident Evil 7 for me. Put on that PSVR headset and die of fright. I will never see you guys again. I will miss you. Well, I would miss you if I was still alive, but.
Yeah.
I hope you'll miss me.
I hope I will too.
Yeah.
We won't know until you're gone.
That's right. You don't know what you miss till it's gone. Yeah. That will do it for this week. You can follow us by going to kaijupop.com and checking out all of our articles, previous podcasts, and things like that. I'm going to finally do my review for Final Fantasy 15 this week, along with things like Silvio So go and check that out. You can check us out on various social media. We have we are at Kaiju Pop on Twitter, along with Kaiju Pop on YouTube. So, you know, like, subscribe, do whatever, you know, help us out. We really appreciate it. You can also follow me personally. I am at Kyoshi Banzai.
You can follow me at Gibsaurus.
And that is going to do it for this week. This has been episode 220. Thank you for listening, and goodbye.
Bye.